here tonight on this Bible study, Psalm 19. Praise God. I had a good report today from my CAT scan. The doctor just wanting to make sure, and so ordered a CAT scan in the area that my kidney was removed, and nothing growing there, nothing there at all. So praise God. Amen. I celebrated with a second cup of coffee. Praise God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Psalm 19, verse 7. 7 through 11. Let's read together. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we've looked at what the Word of God is. It's perfect, it's sure, it's right, it's pure, it's clean. We looked at what it does, at least in part here. We'll finish it up. Converting the soul, making wise the simple, rejoicing the heart, enlightening the eyes, enduring forever. That's where we're going to pick up. And then the value of the Word of the Lord. The value that it has to us because we experience that word. Enduring forever. I like the way the apostles are constantly referring back to Scripture in their experience. They're writing Scripture. They probably didn't know that. They're writing Scripture, but they're looking back to Scripture. And Peter does that when he writes in 1 Peter 1:25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, in the preceding verses, he brings up what Isaiah 40 and 8 talk about, that the grass withers, the flower fades. And it's here for a little while, then it's gone. It turns brown, it crumbles, it's buried under snow. It's there just for a little while. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Many things of beauty are very temporary. Maintenance is the bane of a homeowner. You just constantly have something that you've got to monkey with. And because it's just temporary. The world will pass away, the Bible says. And the elements we know are going to melt with a fervent heat. So we know it's going to happen. But the promise of the scripture is that he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Praise God. Because you've obeyed the word of God, which lasts forever, then you, by its impact, are going to abide forever as well. And that's why the love of the world and the love of the Father cannot coexist. They can't be together. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Mutually exclusive. So we have to make up our minds, and thank God that's a simple choice when you've experienced how good God is, how powerful God is, how strong God is. Amen. No one like our God. He's higher. He's awesome. Praise God. And we put our trust in his word. We're coming up in the season where Isaiah 9 and 6 is going to be proclaimed in Christmas pageants and programs and messages and so on. The child that is born, the son that is given, the government upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Praise God. Jesus is the everlasting Father. Amen. And our love for him supersedes everything else. Accepting family, of course, things don't even come a close second. We put the Lord first above all else. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall what?
Pass away.
The world's going to pass away. The Lord said it, and the apostles wrote it as well. But my word shall not pass away.
Yeah.
Praise God, because he's God. Amen. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever. It's not going to be altered, not going to be changed, not going to be revised, not going to be edited. It's forever settled in heaven. And then we know the ending of Psalm 105. The Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Praise God. There are many that would like to proclaim his mercy being everlasting, but they don't want to walk in his truth that endures to all generations. That's a mistake. We don't want to displace the word of God with what doesn't last. And the Lord condemned people who did that. They would lay aside and reject the commandment of God in Mark chapter 7. They would put it aside as far as God's command and outright reject it. And instead, they would hold and keep the tradition of men. The traditions is what they preferred. Maybe because of familiarity, maybe because of sentimental value, maybe because of power that they were able to wield, I don't know. But why hold to something that's not going to last and let that which is settled forever become second best? It doesn't make sense. We're going to hold on to the things of God. And the Lord went on in Mark 7:13 to say that if you hold to traditions, you're making the word of God of non-effect. In other words, you're nullifying the word of God. You're invalidating the word of God. It's a bad outcome for keeping tradition over truth. We want to hold on to truth. Amen. So it endures forever. Praise God. All the powerful things that it is, all the wonderful things that it does, amen, that establishes the word of God as being of great value. More to be desired than gold. Yea, even fine gold. I'm not real familiar with gold and fine gold being specified here. Apparently, it's pure. It's without impurities. It's been refined and made of extra worth. Man's strong desire for gold and riches is evident even in Alaska's history. And people... the Klondike and the stories that are associated with that, the hardships, the expense, the danger, all of those things, because they're pursuing gold. And it's still going on. There's still gold mines and that are huge, that are large, and then placer mining and smaller holdings and so on. A lot of effort going into obtaining or discovering gold. Well, the word of God needs to be more to us than that, than any aspect of materialism. The word of God needs to have tremendous value, praise God, and desire it because of what it is and because of what it does. Psalm 119:127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. So the psalmist is identifying it in the same way that Psalm 19 did, and saying, I love it even more than those aspects of materialism and so on. Peter knew a great deal about the trial of faith.
Yes.
He lived it. he went through quite a few things for his walk with God initially in the Gospels and then afterwards as well. And he gives this admonition in 1 Peter 1:7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, he's talking about faith now, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's when it's all over. There's no more trials. There's no more difficulties, no more pain, and so on. When the Lord appears, praise God, he's going to make our vile body like unto his glorious body, because he's able to subdue all things. Now, Peter draws from personal experience as well as looking at others who had gone through some difficult things. Gold perishes, but faith is precious. Amen. Keep on going, because he is going to appear. He is going to come. Amen. And I hope you hold on to your faith until that moment. Amen. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, John records in Revelation 21:21. Every gate was of one pearl. One pastor said, I wonder how big the oysters were. I don't know. But the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Wow. Now again, I haven't seen much gold, but I've definitely not seen any gold like that. That's amazing. Talk about pure gold. Wow. Solomon made silver as plentiful as stones, the Bible tells us. That would be a sight to see. Silver as plentiful as stones. But God will use transparent and pure gold as pavement. No frost heaves. My word. Bethel is the land of frost heaves. You better have your seatbelt on. Something else. No frost heaves, no cracks, no crews, no flaggers slowing you down because they're making repairs. Praise God. I want to make it there. How about you? Amen. It's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. The Lord gave the promise of a land flowing with milk and honey. And that phrase is repeated time and time again in Exodus and on into Deuteronomy and so on. Milk is much better when it's fresh. It doesn't last too long, does it? But the fresh quality of it just makes it all the more appetizing and better. Honey, on the other hand, can last how long? Really? Wow. So what the Lord is trying to point out, evidently, is I've got something fresh and wonderful for you, and I've got something that's going to last a long, long time for you. You just keep following me. You just keep walking with me. I'm going to lead you to that land. Praise God. And we know they stumbled. We know they rebelled. We know they murmured. They complained. They had lots to say and not much to do in terms of the actual obedience. But, praise God, they finally made it there. And indeed discovered there were cows to milk and bees to keep. The Lord wasn't just going to give it to them and say, here. No, they just like we have responsibilities, we have actions, we have things that we are to do to obtain the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Thank God that the power of God is there. And so the phrase milk and honey shows that the word will be kept fresh, yet know that it will endure and it will not fail. Praise God. Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, if I were to try to describe a taste to you, I might compare it to something I know we have in common. I might try to describe its flavor, its sweetness, and so on, to try to give you an idea of what it tastes like, but nothing will really do it like you having a taste. Amen. You've got to try it for yourself. And that's certainly the way the Word of God is, and the way experience with the Lord is. Try it for yourself. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. And thank God He has an experience for every one of us. Oh, how exciting to see those two ladies pray through to the Holy Ghost on Sunday night. It just is thrilling to know they can experience it for themselves. Not just hear testimonies, not just hear descriptions, but try it and see. And then the thrill on their face after they knew they had received the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. What a wonderful opportunity. Jeremiah ate the word of the Lord, and it gave him joy. It was a joy and rejoicing of mine heart, he said. Thy words were found of me, and I did eat them. And they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Jeremiah 15, 16. Ezekiel experiences more or less the same thing. Ezekiel 3 and 3. And this obviously shows us you need to taste the Word of God. You need to devour the Word of God. He said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Now, it wasn't a roll, dinner roll, right? It's a scroll. They didn't have books like this. They had scrolls rolled up. So he gave him that scroll, that roll, and said, here, eat it. And so Ezekiel said, then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. An old leather scroll? Like taking your belt off and start chewing on it. That doesn't sound right, does it? The cover of your Bible? Don't start eating on it now, just to test it here. We're looking at Jeremiah, and he is munching on this scroll. And because the Lord directed him to, it was sweet and like honey. John was told to eat the little book that the angel had, and it was sweet to his taste, but bitter in his belly, he said. Salvation is sweet. It's wonderful. But judgment is bitter. And that's what he's referring to here. Because the angel that had it was not an angel of a great message. It was judgment that was coming. The seals that would be broken, the trumpets that would sound, the bowls that would be poured out. Those are terrifying, horrifying things that are coming upon the face of the earth. But thank God, His people will be taken out of here before. Praise God. If we heed the warnings. And that's what the psalmist is saying. By your word, your servant is warned. So the value of the Word of God, it's better than gold. It's better than fine gold. It's better than honey. It's better than the honeycomb. And by the word of the Lord, your servant is warned. Now, a watchman was a familiar figure on the walls of the city. And again, Ezekiel chapter 3. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. So the Lord ordains that watchman, puts him in place, and says, give warning from what I say. The warning from me. And Ezekiel 3:19, the warning to the wicked, to turn them from their wickedness. And verse 21, the warning to the righteous, so that they sin not. Those are good warnings. Those are warnings that are ultimately going to benefit you eternally. Amen. And here's where people struggle. They don't want to heed the warning. Smarter than the watchman. And don't want anybody to tell me what to do. The independence, the holding to tradition, the self-will, rebellion. Don't tell me, watchman. Chapter 33 of Ezekiel, the work of the watchman continues with the blowing of the trumpet in the face of danger. And that was a warning. It was a warning they needed to give heed to. And in verse 7 of Ezekiel 33, see thou, or so thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. So again, the same thing that he said 30 chapters before. It's my warning, it's my word, you pass it on. And that's real important for us to be able to identify that it's the word of God that we have to be able to ascertain. Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians about the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 14 and 7, he uses this analogy of a trumpet. And he says, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, I'm not sure what melody is being blown, what sequence. If it's uncertain, who's going to prepare for battle? If that was the way the army communicated, they would hear the trumpet. Obviously, they didn't have modern communication, so the trumpet, with its blast, with whatever it was, would be the signal. And Paul is saying, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, what's going to happen here? There needs to be a distinct sound. And that's why the word of God being preached has to be plain and direct. Fluffy and sugary, sweet and marvelous treat. Everybody feels good, pat themselves on the back, go home and live the same way. Is there a warning there? Doesn't sound like it. The warning needs to, first of all, go forth, and then it needs to be heeded. Paul, again, sensed the need to preach the word of the Lord for warning. Colossians 1:28. Whom we preach, he's talking about the Lord. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 27 is what he said. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's an emphasis he makes there, isn't it? Every man, every man, every man. He doesn't want anybody left out. Making sure there's the fulfillment of the warning. To heed the warning is worth it both now, in this life, and then as it impacts our forever life, our everlasting life. Amen. We want to be ready. Now, Hebrews 13 and 17. A passage that that is so important for us when we're talking about warning. Hebrews 13 and 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Oh boy, here we go again with a struggle. I don't have to obey anybody. Don't have to have anybody over me. Oh, well, to have that kind of attitude is to, again, reject the Word of God. This is where we need to be, following through on what the Word of God says. For they watch for your souls. There's that watchman part again. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. You know, I've heard people amen that part about they must give account as though they're the ones that are going to be called on the carpet. They're the ones that are going to have to stand before the Lord. We're all going to stand before the Lord. The Bible says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's different than the white throne judgment. But this aspect is dealing with the fact that the watchman is given an account of for you as to how you heeded the warning, how you followed through. And he can do it with grief or he can do it with joy. And you can imagine what would cause the grief, what would cause the joy. The report that he gives, oh, they listened. Oh, they heeded. Oh, they followed through. Oh, they did not brush it off. They did not ignore it. They took it to heart, and their lives were changed as a result. That's with joy. With grief, Lord, they didn't even listen. If they did hear it, they didn't obey it. They were hearers but not doers of your word. And that indeed will cause grief, but oh, much more grief for the individual who is in rebellion or indifference or apathy or go fly a kite attitudes. No, there's got to be the recognition of how valuable the Word of God is. The Amplified says, keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare. Amen. And if they give an account of your submissive and obedient attitude, it'll be with joy. Praise God. And thank the Lord. That's how God can fulfill his word. You know, this rule thing here. Look how many times rule is in this chapter. Is it in there three times or four times? Three times, I guess. Verse 7 and verse 24, in addition to verse 17. So obviously, the Lord is serious about the need for following through and heeding the warnings. And by them is great reward. That's the value, again, of the Word of God, God's Word. Keep the Word of God and be rewarded. Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Evidence of your love. Proof of your repentance. How serious you are about changing your life so that you can please him. Amen. If you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 3:22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Oh, the world wants you to please them. The fashion designers want you to please them. The advertisers want you to please them. But you've got to determine in your heart, I'm going to do the things that please him. Not even necessarily the things that please me. I'm going to please him. The things that are pleasing in his sight. Amen. There are the rewards of unrighteousness the Bible talks about. And again, Peter is making reference here. And I'll try to condense it. 2 Peter chapter 2, he says they count it a pleasure to carouse. They're deceived. They cannot cease from sin. They're covetous. And they do so because of the wages of unrighteousness, the reward of unrighteousness. And then he gives an example of Balaam. Remember Balaam and his dialogue with a donkey? He had forsaken the right way because he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now, the story, you read the story of Balaam, and it looks like he is refusing every offer from the king. And not only that, he's refusing to curse the Israelites. Instead, he blesses them. And it looks awesome. But he was after something. And he got it. Because he taught them how to make Israel to sin. Get them to intermarry with you and to serve your idols. That's what happened. And that's why Balaam is mentioned several times in the New Testament, both 2 Peter and Jude. It's just famous for, or infamous rather, for more than talking to a donkey. He did the wrong thing. So the admonition for us today is hold on. Amen. 2 John 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought or we have worked for, but that we receive a full reward. Praise God. Look to yourselves. Hold on. Jesus said, Revelation 3:11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Don't let anybody rob you of what you have in the Lord. And oh, the devil would so much love to misdirect you, to cheat you out of the blessings that he has in store, and to misdirect you with his deceit. But you hold on. Praise God. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming. Amen. The parable of the talents, the parable those who gained or increased. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Praise God. And that's what we want to hear. Praise God. Let's stand tonight. At the end of Revelation, at the end of the Bible, the Lord is again admonishing us, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Praise God. He hasn't forgotten you. He's not going to leave you out in the cold. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I mean, it's dependent on how you work, how you obey, how you follow through, how you respond. Yep. That's what's inclusive there. So we work for the Lord because we know there's a reward that I'm reaching for. Praise God. And oh my, how great a reward than to be in His presence forever. Amen. To be able to exalt Him, to be able to lift Him up, be able to praise Him over and over. Amen. Thrilled to be in His presence without any distraction, without any fatigue or pain or problems of that sort. Just to worship Him and worship Him and worship Him. Glory to God. What a reward. But God has even more. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. You know the Bible tells us that. But thank God it goes on to say the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. His precious, precious word. You can have confidence in the word of God because it is all of those things. All of those things and more. Perfect, sure, right, pure, clean. And what it does, converting the soul, making wise the simple, rejoicing the heart, enlightening the eyes, enduring forever. And then its worth, its value, how precious it is. Amen. Confidence in the Word of God, because it works. The Word of God works. The Lord went with them, confirming the Word with signs following. Let's stick with the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's come to prayer here for a few minutes as we come to a close. Praise God. Oh, I'm glad for the word of the Lord. I'm so thankful I heard that word. Amen. So thankful. I know the power of that word, the blessing of that word, and how awesome it is for us to make a difference in our lives and the blessings that He brings forth for us. Amen. Amen. Let's thank Him for His word together. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. I glorify You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior. Let Your word continue, God, to guide us. Let Your word continue to empower us. Let Your word, Lord Jesus, be lived in our hearts and our lives. Oh, God, help us to hide Your word in our hearts that we may not sin against Thee. Lord God, minister now, I pray. Help us, Lord Jesus. Strengthen us, Lord Jesus. Oh, work in Your mighty name, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, glorify You, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Through it all. Oh, through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Depend upon His word. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've trust in God.